Hey everyone, Pastor Amanda here. I just wanted to thank you for joining us today. I pray the Word of God comes alive in your heart like never before as you listen. And then if you'd like to support the ministry of the Branch Church so that we can continue to connect those far from God to the life-giving vine of Jesus Christ, you can do so at branch.church/give. Now, let's get to the message.
So, you ready? Have you ever felt like you were just dealt a bad hand in life? Mm-hmm. You ever felt like other people, born with a silver spoon in their mouth, and man, you were lucky if you had a spoon. Mm-hmm. Why don't we turn in the Word of God to the book of Acts, chapter 3. And we're going to read a story of a guy who had it pretty bad. He was dealt a pretty terrible hand. All right? Here's what the Word of God said. Acts chapter 3. If you got a Bible, I got I brought my big Bible today. But it's about that much towards the end. It's pretty close to the end. Okay? All right. Here we go. Here's what the Word of God says, starting in verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. That's nap time around my house, especially on Sundays. Time of prayer is now. Let's go. Now a man crippled from birth. That's a pretty rough hand to be dealt. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him their attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Y'all say, walk.
Walk.
Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So, church, this morning, I just got to start by asking a simple question. Have you been to the gate, to the presence of God, and stayed on the outside? Have you just been to the gate? Have you just been to a church service? Have you just been to your Bible, but not allowing the Word of God to get into you? Have you just been to the gate? Does the thought of the unknown, what's inside the gate, what's in the presence of God, total surrender, does the thought of the unknown keep you paralyzed or crippled? Do you expect the crippling circumstances of life to keep you on the outside looking in on the beautiful gate? Now, the gate was called Beautiful, but that wasn't like a descriptive term. I'm sure it was, you know, ornate and pretty and stuff. But what it was actually describing was the transformational grace available on the inside. That's what we're talking about. And when you walk in to the presence of God here in just a bit, you don't have to walk out the same. Ladies, let me just tell you, it is okay to be in the presence of God with mascara running down your face. Yeah. Fellas, it is not a sign of weakness to show emotion when the presence of God comes on you. You actually get like an upgraded level on your man card. When the presence of God fills this room as it did during worship, are you just going to let it happen to you? Or are you actually going to go in? Do you feel like you've been crippled and this was a terrible week? Or as Jonathan said, this has been a terrible year and I'm just going to stay on the outside because honestly, I'm kind of mad at God. I ain't going in. I'm here. I got my check mark for church for the week, but I ain't going in. Do you expect your crippling circumstances to keep you down? Or could today we possibly expect God to be God and call him out on his word? I want to pray for us. And then I'm going to read this story one more time. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal some stuff to us in the reading, okay? Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence and the promise of your presence. Thank you for every promise within your word. Father, would you let your Holy Spirit come and open our hearts, open our minds to receive exactly what you want us to have today? Would you build our faith with expectation? In the name of Jesus. And all the church said, amen. Let's start in verse 2. Now, a man, what was his lot in life again? Y'all help me. Who was this guy? Yeah. Lame from birth. Mine says crippled from birth. Crippled from birth. This is his name. Dude doesn't even get a name. He just gets crippled from birth. I wonder, Amanda, I wonder if there have been any labels placed upon you by somebody else that you have just taken with you. Oh, this is who I am. Somebody said, I'm dumb. I'm just a dumb jock. Hi, I'm Ryan. That was me. And so now I overprepare everything that I do because honestly, I want you to view me as intelligent. Is that honest enough? Now a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked for money. So this guy, Mr. Crippled from Birth, I think it's hyphenated probably. This man, Mr. Crippled from Birth, is sitting there asking for alms, asking for money and pocket change, small potatoes. All right. This was the usual. This was his normal. This was what was comfortable. This is the way it's always been done. What a dangerous thought. So why do we settle for just enough? I'll take my small potatoes. I'll take my reading of the Bible at church on Sunday, and that's it. I lifted my hands. I got that one swollen up tear duct and that one little thing coming down. I'm good now. Why do we settle for just enough when Jesus came to bring us abundance? This man wasn't expecting a miracle. He was just believing God for his daily bread. That's it. Give me today my daily bread. And his part of daily bread was being carried to the temple courts and hoping somebody would give him something to eat or a way to get something to eat. But listen, how many of you know that there was this kid at one time who had a lunchbox and that daily bread fed 5,000 plus people just because of his daily bread? Could it be, church, that your miracle is trapped within the mundane? Think about this kid again. What about the minutiae of packing your kid's lunch for school could be the catalyst for catastrophic grace exploding in your life? What would have happened if that kid, his mom didn't pack his lunch that day? I'm just telling you, we can't overlook our daily bread. This, our Mr. Cripple from birth was carried to the temple gate where he was put every day to beg. This was the only thing he knew how to do. You know, if there's only one thing you know how to do and you kind of get good at it, it could be that is the call of God on your life. It could be that God is calling you and equipping you to the specific purpose to which he has called you. I know that sounds like an odd thought, like, hey, I'm good at something. God may have called me to this. Yes, that's kind of how it works. So this guy, I know it might feel like a stretch, but he was there. God didn't cause this man to be crippled, but he used this man to bring glory to himself. He was faithful in the little things. It says every day he went to the temple. where he was carried to the temple. Every day he was faithful in that one little thing he did. And my Bible tells me that if you're faithful in the little things, God will begin trusting you with bigger things. Let's go to verse 4. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So you have to imagine this guy is probably even a little bit humiliated to have to be sitting there begging. I don't know if you've ever been in a desperation state where you're literally begging for things. It's humiliating. It's humbling. He wouldn't even look at him. He's just sitting there. Little help, anything would be good. God bless you. Have a great day. Anything would help. You got any spare change? And you know what we do? When we see this on the streets, we just don't make eye contact, right? If I can't see them, they can't see me. This guy wouldn't even look at Peter and John. So they said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something. This guy he was feeling sorry for himself. He had his head hung low. He knew he would be there again tomorrow. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something. Could it be that this is precisely the interaction that Jesus wants us to have with him? Give him our attention and expect something. The word of God is chocked full of promises. These are the things that God wants to give us. But could it really be that easy? Give him our attention and then expect something from him. When was the last time you actually looked to God with expectation? I'm pretty decent at figuring out how to do things on my own. Just kind of decent, okay? And so there are moments, I'll just be honest, there are moments in my walk with God that, like, I'm kind of praying through things and asking God for wisdom while my wheels are turning and I'm figuring it out myself. Okay? Like, "God, I don't know how to get out of this situation, but, you know, maybe I could do this. And I can help you because you're God, but you obviously need my help." Why don't we actually look to God with expectation anymore? Our first reaction is typically, and this is just me, okay? My first reaction is, you know, get hurt, stub your toe, and suck it up. You know, suck it up. You'll be fine. Rub some dirt on it. It's all good. My kids were at a birthday party yesterday, and my oldest threw this big, like, yoga ball at my youngest kid, and my youngest was starting to cry, and I'm like, "You got hit with a yoga ball. It's squishy. Like, suck it up. Get over it." Instead of, like, understanding that he got hit in the eye with the button part, like with the blow-up part, I'm, ugh, great. What a great dad. Suck it up. Get over it. He was looking to me with expectation to be caring and comforting, and unlike God, I responded in the way, maybe I shouldn't have. But God isn't us. God is a good, gracious, merciful Father who loves to give good gifts to those he loves. And that's you. When was the last time we looked to Jesus actually expecting to get something from him? I mean, think about this. Anything from Jesus would be better than everything from anyone else. Jesus didn't come just to give us anything, but he actually came to give us everything. In Mark chapter 9, there's a story about a father and a son. And this son has a way bigger issue than, you know, my kid getting hit with a yoga ball, all right? This son had a evil spirit oppressing him. It would cause the kid to go into convulsions and throw him into the fire and try to kill him. Throw him into the water and try to drown him. And so being in a desperate moment, this father finds Jesus and says in verse 21 of Mark 9, "But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Jesus' answer here, and you can read it for yourself, it's almost condescending. Like, I read my personality into the Word of God because it's my personality and I'm reading it. So here we go. Jesus' answer is almost condescending. He responds back, if you can, if I can, really? Do you know who I am? He doesn't say that. That's a New Hoover version. That's what he says. Jesus said, not only is anything possible, but here's what Jesus actually said. Everything is possible for him who believes. You see, anything, it's weak, but everything is strength. Anything is helpless, but everything is hopeful. Anything is just apathetic, and everything is abundant. Anything is, it's pitiful. But everything, it's peaceful and powerful. Why would we give up everything for just anything? But if we don't walk into the presence of God, into the beautiful gate, expecting to get something, we leave with the same nothing that we walked in with. God has a powerful blessing he wants to pour out on your life. But if we don't give him our attention, if we don't look at him with expectation, we are the one that are stopping God from pouring out his spirit on your life. Everything is possible for him who believes. Our beggar was expecting to get something, anything, but Jesus didn't come to give just anything, but everything, and that more abundantly. That's what the Word of God says. Mr. Cripple from birth understood that when somebody would give them his attention, would give him their attention, he was about to get something. Do you know? Do you realize that God is always giving you his attention? There's not a moment in your life that has passed or that will pass that God is not actively aware of who you are and where you are in life. You are always on his mind. Always. And this, the presence of God, this is true of the presence of God. Like when we give God our attention, his attention is already on us. Powerful things can happen. The mundane turns into miraculous. The routine turns into righteousness. This is what happens when we enter the presence of God. And when you give God, when you give your attention to the presence of God, you get the presence of God and all that comes with it. And what more could we possibly want? Jeremiah said it like this: then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. The catch here is that the adverse is true as well. If you don't give your attention and time to the presence of God, you get nothing. The beggar expected to get something from Peter and John. He just expected it. And how come we can't walk into the presence of God? Be it at church or at your house, in your living room, maybe on your job. You can walk into the presence of God wherever you are and expect God to meet you right there. You can never out-expect God's provision and God's presence in your life. You just can't do it. There is more for you and there is more for me if we would simply give God our attention and pay attention to his presence. Let's go to verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Just like that. Just like that. Just like the story of Charlie that Shay was telling us about. This girl was in trouble. And Jesus has shown up and shown off because he knows Charlie way more intimately than those doctors ever will. He knows he's healing. He knows what you're going through. He feels the hurt that you're feeling. And he wants to restore you. He wants to heal you. He wants to bring peace and health to your life. But our materialistic worldview paints a very dim picture on heavenly treasures. You don't have to have anything to give everything. You don't. Just track with me here for a second. God has placed within you the capacity to create moments of transformational grace. That's the power that you hold. And you're like, oh, what? How? Well, it's way too easy. Give them Jesus. Give them Jesus. There used to be this old saying, and it's not as popular anymore. But if you recognize it here in just a second, give me a yup. Okay, you ready? Jesus is the answer. We got a couple of them. Can I tell you today, church, Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is still the answer. He's never not been the answer. He's never not been the answer. Yeah, but, you know, Ryan, my finances are really messed up. That's hard. We've been there. But let me introduce you to Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And you're like, yeah, but Ryan, all my relationships are just broken. They're crumbling. My family is fracturing. I don't know what to do. Let me introduce you to Jehovah Rophi, my healer. My body's broken. It's the same Jehovah Rophi, my healer. And you're like, yeah, but Ryan, I've got this destructive history that won't ever go away. I can't undo the past. Great. Let me introduce you to Jehovah Makedesh, my sanctifier. Yeah, but Ryan, I'm just this anxious worrier all the time. I can't not worry about everything. It keeps me up at night. It wakes me up in the middle of the night when I do get to finally go to sleep. I'm exhausted because of how much I'm worrying. Let me introduce you to Jehovah Shalom. My peace. Whatever you need, there is a Jehovah for that. You don't have to have anything to give everything. So making sense now? Great. Jesus is the answer. Silver and gold, I don't have. If you need like some big silver and gold stuff nowadays, like I'm probably not the guy you're going to want to come to. I can give you Jesus though. What I do have, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, walk. If I don't have what I think you need, what benefit is it of me to try to give you something that I don't have that I think you need? That was a mouthful. If I don't have what I think you need, I can't be helpful. I can't serve you. I can't love you as a brother or sister in Christ. But I've always got some Jesus. I've always got Jesus to dish out. I've always got Jesus to pass out. Listen, I don't want to try to over-spiritualize our problems because, believe me, Amanda and I, we walk through problems all the time, day in and day out. I know sometimes it feels like the as soon as you get out of a battle, you get smacked with a baseball bat from Satan. Like, I get it. But y'all, when we're so focused on this world, we forget that the battles we face are not against flesh and blood. And so when I'm saying give Jesus, somebody's going through something, give them Jesus. That's not just over-spiritualizing things. This is actual remedy. I'm going to see a victory because the chains are breaking. That's what this means. Give them Jesus. He's already won. We know how the story ends. Give them Jesus. The only thing I have to offer is Jesus. By the way, this is the one that can meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. It ain't me. I may not have much, but I've got it all. So now I can offer you everything, even when I have nothing. You're like, okay, Ryan, but I don't understand how. Well, great, I don't either. But here's what the Word of God says. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than anything we could hope for or imagine, according to the power at work within us, that to him who is able. That's who I'm giving you. That's the offer on the table. So silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And so today, here's what I'm believing for, okay? I'm believing that we're going to see people get up and walk out of broken relationships into health. I believe we're going to see people get up and walk out of destructive habits into freedom. We're going to see people get up and walk out of restless situations and oppressive anxiety into peace. That's what I'm believing for today. I know that might be a bold claim. That almost might borderline the miraculous in your life. But that is what is on the table today. In the name of Jesus, walk. And it would have been a bold enough statement if the story ended there. It really would. Like Jesus, well, Lacey said it earlier. Just faith as small as a mustard seed. It doesn't matter the size of your battle. That much faith is all it takes. Real, unadulterated faith. Belief that God is exactly who he says he is and can do any and all things because he is God. Such a good word. Faith. And if the story ended there, it would be great. But it doesn't end there. It becomes miraculous. Verse 7. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. The only thing we're waiting on is for us to look to Jesus in full expectation, and then instantly, the moment that we step into the presence of God, our lives have the capacity to change. In a moment, we believe that one moment in the presence of God will do far greater things in your life than a lifetime spent anywhere else. That's why we offer prayer all the time. Today, it's going to happen twice. Amanda did it. I'm about to do it too. We're gonna believe that God invades our life when we give him our attention and we walk into the beautiful gate of his presence. Instantly. Our lives have the capacity to change, but not only for the good of ourselves, but for the advancement of the kingdom of God. This guy, Mr. Crippled from Birth, he didn't just get up, get healed, get strong, and then sit back down. He didn't do that. It said instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. You know, my mind goes to like, all right, God, but what about the rest of the history of this dude's life when he's been brought here every day? You waited until this moment? Why did you wait so long? I know you guys, all you wonderful saints, y'all don't question God like I do. But I ask him why he waits so long all the time. I give him great suggestions. You know, God, if you would just 1, 2, 3, then I'd be ABC. Like, let's go. Or if that doesn't work, you know, why don't you try option 2 through 12? Here's a bunch of options, God. Pick one. And he just says, be still and know that I am God. You see, God doesn't waste our time, or and he doesn't cause our trials and tragedy, but he redeems everything that Satan tries to ruin. If you find yourself hopeless, hurting, faithless, and broken, you're in the perfect position to receive something from God, because my Bible also tells me that he is near to the brokenhearted. If you've never been brokenhearted before, you've never understood the deep necessity for the presence of God, someone to just be there with you. And if we would simply give him our attention and expect to get something from him, how much different would our lives be? How much quicker would God have acted on our behalf? Well, I don't know. I'm not God. But what happens when we get into the presence of God, our perspective changes from the immediate to the eternal. So this life, which is just a vapor, according to the word, it's just a vapor and then it's gone. We tend to view our weeks as if they're years, and our years as if they're eternities, but they're not. It's just a vapor. It's here, it's gone, and then tomorrow comes. Y'all, if we would allow Jesus being in his presence to reshape the way that we viewed our life. Our everyday trials, the things that are hard, the things that are difficult to get through, they wouldn't be so difficult. They would be just a vapor. Verse 8 says this. Well, let me hit verse 7 again. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Verse 8. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. You see, he didn't just sit back down after he was healed. Our temptation is to return to what we know, but God is telling us to move on so we can grow. Our temptation is to go back and this is the way we've always done it. This is the way that I grew up doing it, so this has to be the right way. But comfortability is the enemy of usability. One more time. Great. Comfortability is the enemy of usability. God, we learned last week, God doesn't leave us where he found us, but he also doesn't leave us where he leads us. He's always moving us forward. He's always moving us deeper into his presence, into a deeper revelation of who he is. Comfortability is the enemy of usability. And so I want to know how we can walk into an encounter with the presence of God, the Holy Anointed One, Jesus, how his Holy Spirit can be here with us, and we not tell anybody? And we just go on with Monday, business as usual? Like it's not a big deal that the Creator Almighty God met with you personally? It's actually a big deal. And so when we do everything that we do and create moments for you to encounter the presence of God and nothing happens. Listen, I shared with the prayer team, or with the worship team earlier today, I can't fall in love with Jesus for you. And Amanda and I, we can't make you love Jesus. All we can do is prove to you how much you are already loved by God. Prove to you the victory that is in your hands right now as a believer. As somebody who has asked Jesus into their life. But sometimes, you know, we idolize the good old days. We idolize the good old days to a point of not pursuing what God has for us next. Like, I love talking about the good old days. Like, my football team was real good. We were real good. I could talk about that for a long time. But it makes no difference. I'm not still playing football. Not playing much anything. God wants us to move forward. He's always wanting us to move forward. But progressivism is not the enemy of Pentecostalism. Are you tracking with me? Moving forward, doing things a little bit different, is not the enemy of that old school Holy Ghost shakedown service. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Man, I love those. We need this intergenerational community of believers where those who can physically jump and leap and praise God, they're doing it. But they're also remembering and honoring the mountains they never had to climb. They're bouncing off the springboard of the past anointing and pulling the next generation up with them. Y'all, we didn't get here today without people believing and digging into the Word and building a theological foundation that's rooted on Jesus. We didn't get here today without the past generation. We're also, the past generation isn't going to get to the next step without this generation. So as we progress in our knowledge and understanding of Jesus, it takes an intergenerational community of believers. We can honor the past and pursue the future. These are not mutually exclusive thoughts, okay? This guy jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and leaping and praising God. This beggar embraced his new life and began walking in his new reality. He walked side by side those who helped him get somewhere he had never been before. He walked side by side with the people that helped him do something he had never done before. he could never do on his own before. And all the while, verse 11, we'll jump to verse 11. It says, all the while, the beggar held on to Peter and John. Worship team, can y'all come on back for me? Here's verse 9. I'm jumping a little bit. Sorry, Ben. Here's verse 9. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Have you ever made progress in some area of your life and then ran into one of your old friends? Isn't that weird? Y'all don't know who I used to be. But when you run into a friend from a past life, what happens is they recognize and reduce you to your previous reality. It's not their fault. They don't know who you are. They don't know the transformation that's taken place within you. They reduce you to your previous reality because they can't see your future reality. There's no way that we can leave a real, authentic encounter with Jesus and walk away the same. Jesus takes that previous reality, redeems it, and exchanges it for a new reality, for a new future reality. There's no way we can do the same. If we have issues with our past, just read about Saul, who later turned to Paul. This guy was crazy. This guy wrote most of the New Testament. And he had a worse past than I would venture to bet everyone here combined. Actively killing people who love Jesus. Like that's a pretty bad past. And one of the reasons Paul wrote 2 Corinthians was because people were trying to disqualify him, disqualify his authority because of his past. I have a past too, and Satan brings it up quite often. I remain attached to my past, as do you. However, my previous reality doesn't get to dictate my future reality because my previous reality didn't know the Jesus I serve now. I'll just be honest. I'm hurting. I'm broken. I'm sinful. I'm unforgiving. I'm quick-tempered. But I am saved. I am redeemed. I am being sanctified. I am being made whole. I'm being made into the likeness of Jesus. So Satan, come on, man. Wave my checkered past at me and I'm going to show you what my future looks like. Jesus takes all of the junk that we've had to walk through. What the enemy meant for evil, he turns it for our good. That's not just a cute saying. That's not just a cute song. This is what life can be like for us when we step into the presence of God, past the beautiful gate, and actually engage with what he wants to give us. I know where I'm headed. I know where I'm going. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going, but I'm not there yet. But until I get there, I'm going to keep expecting God to be faithful to who he is. And my Bible tells me in Exodus, a quote from God, I have always been the God who heals you. That's powerful. That is powerful. Sometimes God allows our past to proceed so that our future can succeed. If you don't ever understand how much it hurt, it'll be hard to appreciate the healing. So it might be hurting right now. It might be hard. But God's going to get glory through it. Be faithful in the little things. Here's verse 11. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. Can you imagine? Y'all jump to your feet with me. And let's turn on our imaginations, okay? Can you imagine what will happen when we begin to live beyond our crippled past? It's almost hard to imagine that much freedom. It's almost hard to imagine not carrying all this extra baggage. It's almost hard to imagine a relationship that isn't destructive. But that's what's on the table.
Can you go turn down number 5?
This is what is being offered to us today. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So church, today is all about allowing God to redeem and restore all that we've done and all who we used to be, because our past doesn't get to dictate our future. Only Jesus gets to hold my future. Let me give you one more thing, and then we're going to pray. Prayer team, can y'all make your way? Can you help me out? Worship team, we have more people needing to pray. We need you, okay? We need you down here more than we would need you up there. Just if. Often, we do really good at church. You know, the Holy Spirit's convicting us. He's like, you don't have to carry this anymore, Ryan, but, you know, maybe there's extra things that we're holding on to, and the Holy Spirit's working at us. He's tugging at us. Just lay it down. Lay it down at the altar. Lay it down. Rise up and walk. Walk out in freedom. And so we spend time in the presence of God, and it's amazing, and it's changing in the moment. But before we walk out the door, we run back down to the front and pick up whatever we laid down and take it home with us. The church phrase we hear often is just leave it at the feet of Jesus. Leave it at the feet of Jesus. That's what today is about. Allowing God to be the redeemer, the restorer, the healer, and leaving what we brought with us at his feet. And not picking it back up again. I'm very confident in saying that God can redeem whatever situation you find yourself in. He can restore all the brokenness that's flowing through your life. That's just kind of what he does. Before we go too far, if you've never been introduced to this Jesus guy before, and you're like, you know what, Ryan, I don't even know. Like, all that sounds great, and I'm in, but I don't even know where to begin. Well, the beginning is asking Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your heart, Lord and Savior of your life, to forgive you of your sins. And so that's where I want to begin today, and then we're going to respond. I have big faith, just so you know. I know God can do all things. And so before we physically respond and gather around in prayer, I want to give you an opportunity to say, yeah, you know, Ryan, I need Jesus in my life. I want to begin this journey of freedom, of healing and being restored and being redeemed and being sanctified and being made new all over again. I need this in my life. I'm not going to ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. Look, the greatest thing I can ever give you is an introduction to Jesus. This is who he is. He died to pay the price that you should have to pay, that I should have to pay for my sins. But he did it because he loves you. And this is who we're going to begin to surrender to from this moment forward. So you're in here and you're like, yeah, Ryan, I need Jesus in my life. Just shoot your hand up. Let me acknowledge it real quick, and we'll move right along. Yep, I need Jesus in my life. Okay. Now the fun part. If you brought in stuff, we all got stuff. But you know that nothing beyond divine intervention help you. God is here and he wants to restore all the brokenness. He wants to heal all the hurt in your life, all the unforgiveness, all the bitterness, all the anger and the rage. He wants to free you from that. Walking hand in hand with Jesus every day is about walking in freedom, more freedom every single day. I'm not stuck and shackled to my past anymore, but I get to walk in freedom in the name of Jesus. If this is what you brought in with you, we want to pray for you. It is our joy and our honor to get to battle with you in the spiritual realm. So I'm going to pray. And when I say amen, before I say amen, if you feel the Holy Spirit pulling on you, it is our honor and our joy to battle with you. Worship team's going to help us worship, and we're going to pray. When I say amen, if we can pray with you, come find us. Father, we love you. You are good, you are mighty, you are gracious, you are holy, you are worthy, and you are able. God, you are able to do immeasurably more than all we can ever hope for or imagine. God, help us walk up out of here. Walk up out of this brokenness. Walk up out of the hurt. Walk up out of the anger. God, you are good. You are mighty. We know who you are. We know you can do it. And so in the name of Jesus, we give it all to you. Amen. Amen. We can pray with you. Let us pray with you. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. There's hope. There's healing. There's life in the name of Jesus. So, church, what do you do when you walk in and you see the beautiful gate of God's presence? You dig in. You press in. And you don't let go until God has given you your blessing. I'm still of the old school mentality that God's got a blessing with your name on it. I'm not going to start singing. But maybe I'll start singing. I'll start singing next time. But God's got a blessing with your name on it. Well, y'all know how we like to do it at the end of every service. We like to say something that really drives home who we are in response to who he is. So Jesus said, I'm the vine.
We are the branch.
So everywhere you go,
be the branch.
Be the branch. God bless. If this is your first time, Pastor Man and I want to meet you out there. Shake your hand. God bless.